It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Community Living Show, dealing with issues of special needs people throughout British Columbia.
Since the start of the 1990s, a bunch of people with disabilities got together and decided that the people needed to be heard on the radio. It was hard to get on the radio business because not many of the radio stations would sponsor it. So they went over to the independent radio station to get some feedback. They agreed in return they could also do support to the station by going to special events, making some phone calls for pledges, and helping out with the community. In the March of 1993, a show was formed called the Self-Advocacy Show. Years later, it changed to the name to the Community Living Show. Heard every Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio. It was a half an hour show dealing with issues by the disabled community. The broadcast originally aired at Pigeon Park at the corner of Hastings and Carroll. Many people and special guests with special needs had some difficulties going up and down the stairs, and it wasn't accessible to wheelchairs. Later it moved to the corner of Hastings at Columbia Street, where some years later the frequency was changed from 102.7 to 100.5 FM. Then we were moved on the move again to the corner of World Street and Dundas Street for a temporary relocation. The Community Living Show was hosted by Wendy Allen, Dave Laurie and Sherritt, Richard McDonald, Paul Gilardi, Dan Yard, Phil Smeltzer, Hazel Lorraine, Carmen Liliana, Ben Remper, and many others that came to the show. I came to the show in 2008 or later, and Michael Rubin came up to help out with the show as well. Since that March of 1993, we have been broadcasting from Co-op Radio Studios. Starting today, we are now broadcasting from the University of British Columbia campus radio station for the full hour show. My name is Kelly Rayburn, as known as DJ Ray from The Medicine Show, also hosted by Jason Lawrence, and your host of The Late Night Show, heard every Friday nights starting at 11 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM and also streaming online at CITR.ca. Welcome to the full hour program of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and our new radio station, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We welcome you to the program.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Welcome, UBC listeners, to the Community Living Show. Originally, we started off from Co-op Radio. Now we're doing a full hour of the show. Yay!
Yay!
Anyways, some announcements to start off. We're starting our campaign called the Fun Drive. And what this is, every year we help out, pitch up, and to raise money to fund the radio station. It's pretty much similar to what we do for Co-op Radio. They do it in the spring membership drive and the fall membership drive. So they do it pretty much similar ways. But ours is every year to make the show more better. So by noon, we start at noon. So once noon comes, please give us a call, 604-822-8648, which is known as 604 UBC Unit, or you can donate online at citr.ca/donate.
Yeah, it's really important to donate. It keeps shows like ours alive, and there's a whole lot of different shows that appear on community radio that would never appear on commercial radio.
And that's Michael Rubin right now.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
So So,
and we have our guest with us from the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Group, and Cheryl and Kelsey.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. Thank you, Michael.
So, when we had our talk over at the co-op station, you were telling us about the walk that you want to do from Langley, BC to Banff.
Yes.
And some of the resistance that you had with people saying, that's crazy, you have fibromyalgia, what about the pain, what about your medical needs, you'll never make it, all that sort of stuff. And you guys are still marching forward, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So let's go through it all a little bit now, because we're on a new station and some new listeners that may not have heard the show on co-op. So,
okay.
So yeah.
Well, as Michael said, my name is Cheryl Young. I'm founder and executive director for Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation, based in the Langleys. I call it the Langleys because we're in the township of Langley and also the city of Langley, so we're right there. We have two offices. About a year ago, I kind of said I had to go for a walk, and my husband and I were sitting there, and by the way, it's Nigel's birthday today, so I just thought I'd say happy birthday to Nigel.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I would walk to Banff because I have this need to walk. I love to walk, and it just was given to me from above that I needed to create more awareness because we weren't getting anywhere. We've had a foundation going to be our ninth year, and it just was like, hitting my head against the wall, and I thought, what can we do to create more awareness? And so I decided I was walk to Banff, and so from there, about a week later, we're sitting across the kitchen table with Kelsey here, and she said, she's on board. So now it became a problem because it was huge, because then it brought in, before it was myself, and when I was walking, there's no responsibility. It's just myself. And that was easy because Nigel's got the mobile office. We can jump in and out, and we can go. As soon as Kelsey came on board, I love her dearly, that brought in the foundation responsibility of huge amount of extra work because you've got to make sure they're all safe. And some from there, we've expanded it from not just fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. We've expanded it for invisible illnesses as well, because they're getting a bum shake. We need to get that awareness that just because we look great, we're not inside. And we really needed to stress the importance. Sure, when we've got wheelchairs and we've got walkers and we've got canes, people see that. But when you look like I'm right now, don't use a cane, I'm not using a walker, people think I look great. And we need to show people that just because we look good, we could have like disabilities and depression, a lot of depression, chronic fatigue.
And you look good, too.
Well, thank you so much. That's nice. But you got MS, you've got so many different things out there that people are not aware of, or they're ignorant, and they're rude, and they make it really hard, this lack of support. So I think a walk to Banff would get more awareness for people to understand that we're going to walk, we're going to hurt, we're going to really hurt. I know myself personally that when I walk for a long distance, I'm not walking as soon as I get back there. That'll be it. I'll be crunching up and really in a lot of pain. But you know what? It's a good cause.
Absolutely. And I knew as soon as Cheryl started the project that as soon as she mentioned it that I wanted to jump on board and be a part of it, because I know what it feels like to deal with the invisibility, being athletic and, you know, looking like I'm in good shape. I deal with that all the time. I deal with it with people, with, you know, sometimes family members, friends, and then we deal with the medical community as well. That, you know, as recently as yesterday, I went to the doctor, and, you know, I leave there kind of in that disheartened feeling of, you know, you deal with new symptoms that come up, and it's just a part of fibro. So it's overwhelming sometimes.
I mean, Cheryl, how old are you in age?
Okay, I'm 62.
Mm-hmm.
I've had fibro since I was 4. I drowned at 4. It was a traumatic experience.
Okay.
And all my life, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't diagnosed to 92. Mm-hmm. So that's a long time, all my life, different than other people.
I know. My mother's close to around your same age. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's done the Great Walk from, what is it, from Gold River.
down around that area.
Excellent.
So, I mean, she was fit at that time, and I mean, she could still, even if she can walk around if she wants to walk the Great Walk, it would probably be good. But on your experience going from Langley to Banff, it's just a big experience.
Yes, I'm in training. All three of you. Yeah. Yeah, we're in training. We're not doing anything silly. That's why it's over a year away still. We're slowly getting our bodies ready for that, and we're making sure the doctors know. Mine kind of don't say too much, but they know I'm driven, that I will do this walk. Yeah.
So, okay, you're ready for the walk. We're about to start. How long do you think it's going to take you to actually walk? In about how many hours a day do you think you will walk?
We're looking at trying to set it up approximately over 40 days. We have to have a little bit of flexibility, but approximately 40 days. We're looking at walking 28 to 30 kilometers a day. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to break it down about 6 hours a day. We're going to have breaks. We're planning out, we've already started doing that, the planning of the actual each day on part of the route already, to see where we can stop and where we're safe and have access to lodging as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. 28 kilometers?
Yes.
Now, I was an air cadet, and 28 kilometers was definitely quite the hike.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's, you know, between 13 and 16 doing that is a little bit different than me trying to do it now a number of years later. Do you think that's it's a little too far, what are your thoughts?
What I know more than anything is that when Cheryl decides to do something, she's going to do it. And the 40 days came out of it. There's reason in that for her. What I do know is we can do it. We have to build in flexibility into our plans so that as far as lodging, we have to stay to a schedule to accomplish the goal. But there's ways to do that, and it's just a matter of being able to plan that out. It is a lot. It's a lot to deal with what we deal with every day. And I know that if you don't have big goals and grow into them, you'll never achieve them. So I think what we've done is we have this massive goal, and the bigger goal is actually our community village down the road. And the walk is the awareness for that as well, not just for disabilities that are invisible. So that's the giant goal. And what we're going to do is just, we're going to break it down one step at a time, one day at a time, and take it as we get there.
You guys are familiar with the saying, eye on the prize. That's what's going to get you through it.
Yeah,
it sounds like you have everything well planned, and I'm sure that's a big chunk of success in anything is actually the plan. So, along with that, how many different other organizations you're talking about? Safety, you're talking about lodgings. How do you plan around that, around your safety and things like that?
We started about 6 months ago, my husband and I, Nigel and myself, we started with going to the RCMP, Ministry of Transportation, asking the right routes to go. That's why we're going to Hope Princeton. We've got groups all the way up, so we're going to march into their town and lock arms with them and do that first step together at the town halls with the mayors. We're hoping for fundraising, because this is huge. We're going to need to raise about $250,000 just so that people with disabilities don't have that kind of money for food and stuff. So we want it a free event for them to be able to participate in. The happiness, the entertainment. Not Cassie and I are nuts, okay?
Yep.
We're crazy. We love having fun. Like, we work hard, but we love having fun too. Like, if you come to our fundraisers, we're kind of crazy. We just have a blast.
I met you at a fundraiser,
Yeah, and we have fun. And the walkers are really into becoming a close-knit people, because we share the same things. We're out there. But you know what we're having trouble with? People believing and people actually understanding what it's all about. It's not about us walking all the way. Some of our people are going to walk a few steps. Some are a block. Some are a mile. And then we're going to have vehicles that there's passenger seats so they can jump in and ride for a while and then come back out and walk a while. So it's going to be really easy. Myself, I'm walking all the way to Banff. That is my goal. I know Kelsey's is the same.
Yeah.
But not everyone can do that. And we don't expect them to do that. Anyone can get involved in this. Volunteers, we need humongous. You know, something this big, you know, you got to feed a crew. You got to cut the carrots. You've got to have a salary done. You've got to get everything ready. But you know what? We've gone to a lot of people, Nadja and I, in the last 6 months. No corporation at this time has decided to come on board. We have written letters. We've done that. For some reason, they're just not interested. But you know what? After the fact's too late. Why not come on board now, be a part of this humongous thing that's getting bigger and bigger? It's huge. I'm working out of two offices right now. At home, I get more peace and quiet and be able to focus on the details. And I'm working full-time on just getting people to understand. And now we're doing that outreach program. We've expanded the foundation where we're doing walks and talks. So like last week, we did Maple Ridge. We got together on a Saturday morning. We walked and talked. So they're like mini support groups, getting the word out. We got Chilliwack in a couple weeks to do, and Richmond's coming fast. So we're out there talking to the people and creating awareness about, hey, we're here. You're not alone. Don't stay in your rooms. That is terrible. That's depression. We want you out of there. Do something, even if it's one step.
You know, you brought up a point. You said one word, the depression.
Bad.
And Kelsey, you brought up.
I can speak to that for
you,
sure. Yeah.
You brought up other symptoms. Yeah. Now, the one thing I want to address here is this: is like when you go to the doctor and a new symptom occurs, it's like and you just rolled your eyes. I wish you guys could have seen
it. It's just happened for me. That's why.
Could see it.
Yeah.
Right?
Crying. I mean, it's like, this is ridiculous.
And
abuse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the doctor's probably like, oh, well, it's just all in your head.
Yeah.
At this point, I've heard this from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's like, oh, that's in your head. Don't worry. It's nothing. Is like, but they're not inside your body.
That's right.
And so, that in of itself, knowing that the one person that's supposed to be helping you, mm-hmm. he actually takes an oath.
That's right.
To help people.
Yeah.
And now he's telling you you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because
fortunate because I've actually, you know, compared to a lot of people that I know, I have a really good support group of doctors behind me that have been pretty good with it. But, you know, you still get those days where it's dismissed. Or yesterday I went to the doctor and you have new symptoms and you get told it's just a part of the fibro. When you have over 250 potential symptoms that you can come up with, it's overwhelming. And then what happens is we shut down inside. And a lot of the danger is that we don't go and address the new symptoms that could actually be attached to bigger problems like heart disease or diabetes or other things, and we write it off as fibro because we get that attitude of being written off. And mm-hmm. the depression, when it comes to any invisible illness, you're looking at a 10 to 15% fatality rate for something that is a non-fatal illness because of depression. People commit suicide because their heart dies before their body gives out. And that's what inspires me to do the walk. I don't know how I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to do it because I need to light the spark in other people's hearts. If I can only do that even for one other person in my lifetime and let them know that you're not alone, that's what drives my soul.
Mm-hmm. So passion overrides the rest.
Yeah. Sorry, I get to the point of tears. So
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's when you're talking about when you're dealing with yourself the way so intimately the way you are, it's going to stir emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly asking easy questions.
No, you know what? And that's the thing. We're both very open. Yeah. I will share anything. Because that's the only, you can't create more invisibility. You have to be open and vulnerable because mm-hmm. that's what draws other people out of that shell. And that's what I do. And I do that probably more than a lot of people kind of, you know, as a board member and stuff. That's who I am. I kind of put it all out there so that people can be drawn from that hidden place into a place of safety and feel like they aren't alone, be vulnerable. And as soon as people start to do that, you see the spark come back in.
Yes.
And you see that light come, you see them smile again. You see them active. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's just that one step.
Yep.
Yeah.
On that note, we're going to have to take a break and we'll come right back with more stuff. This is the Community Living Show on the NCR Radio Networks and on CITR 101.9 FM.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hey there, listeners. Every year, Fund Drive, CITR's annual fundraiser, helps raise money to keep CITR running. Last year, we raised over $35,000 to assist our move to a new station. This year, Fund Drive is kicking off February 26th with a party at UBC's Pitt Pub and finishing off with a party at Pat's Pub on March 6th. So let's get digital. This year, our goal is to raise $40,000 to build a new website, digitize our analog archives, make decades worth of CITR history accessible, and more. Starting February 26th, you can call in to pledge towards this year's fund drive. Or starting February 16th, donate online at www.citr.ca. Receive great prizes for your donations. Again, fund drive is this February 26th to March 6th. Help keep campus and community radio healthy. Donate to support CITR.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
And we're back. And we're back here on the Community Living Show on the NCRA network, broadcasted today live from CITR UBC. And we're with Cheryl and Kelsey from the Fiber Mileshare Wellspring Foundation. And we were discussing the steps you're taking to... It's funny we're saying the steps you're taking to a walk.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
To walk from Langley to Banff.
Yes.
So, and we were discussing a little bit of how you're trying to push for sponsorships and things like that.
Yes. What my husband and I are doing, we're taking the car and we're doing the 28 kilometers and getting the route from, say, from here to Abbotsford's the first day. And then the next day is another 28 days. Chilliwack, you know, Rosedale, Agassiz, Holt, and you're thinking Princeton. Hey, Princeton. We love that group. Carameas, Kelowna. You think of that route, Vernon, all the way up and then back. And so what we're doing is doing the 28 kilometers, saying, oh, what's there? What's there? Where can we stay? Will they help? And Manning Park Lodge has offered for us to stay there. We're very thankful for that. So if other groups will help, because it could be 13, 15, 20, 25 people who need a room, a shower would be always good. Food, you know, we're going to have our own chuck wagon with us because there's one area there that we're going to circle the wagon and have the chuck wagon in the middle and going to have like a caravan. So we can all be safe in a circle. So you think of the old Western days. And we do that. We focus on that. We focus on making it entertaining and fun. And with it only walking the 6 hours, basically, off and on, there'll be a place there that we notice that we can pull over the mobile office and Nigel can fish. in a stream, and we can put our feet in there because our feet are going to need it in that cold stream. So we're thinking of stuff like that. If we get snowed in, we're not walking in the snow. That was one of the questions people asked us, and not the pouring rain either. We're not that crazy. But we're going to have Forrest Gump on in the mobile office and have popcorn. You know, we're all going to cuddle together and watch this program, and because this is her favorite show is Forrest Gump. And so, you know, like, we're making it a fun thing. Mm-hmm. We're making it a serious thing. And we're making it something that people are always going to remember. It's an adventure. And we have to be prepared for things like bears. So we're going to bring the park rangers out and do a session with our people to actually teach them what to do if a bear attacks or a cougar or something like that. That's why there has to be a spot in each vehicle for people to jump in there. Because I'm going to be the last one there because I will protect our people. And God takes on anyone that takes on me. And they know it, that I am that mother lioness. And this is where I know I have to do. It's my responsibility. And I take it very seriously. But I like to have fun too, right?
Yep. And it's like we were talking in the break about, again, you were saying the steps for the walk, talking about the steps to make it happen. And I was talking about, you know, the links of a chain. And that's kind of what we need. And people always assume that change or a way to help has to be profound. And it really doesn't need to be. It can be, you know, little independent businesses in each town. It can be different organizations that are dealing with different illnesses. Yeah. Anybody can jump on board. We need food. We need transportation. We need gas for cars. Mm-hmm. We need potential vehicles to rent. Even a room, a big meeting room, you know, if somebody in a town can organize that at a school and here's a gymnasium, this is what we're going to do and take on those little pieces. If everybody takes on a link of the chain, we build the chain. Right. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. And that's when we look at sponsorship, that's what it means. Every little piece makes that difference and will make that dream happen for us. And that's what I mean about the vision. Have a big goal and break it down into manageable pieces and people can help us do that.
Right. It's important. People sometimes don't realize it. Sometimes it's just if they have a dollar in their pocket to give to something, you know, or
a skill.
Yeah.
That's huge. You know, we can't be everywhere, you know, doing, like, we're trying to do the awareness and we're trying to do the outreach walk programs and stuff like that and run the support groups that are already existing mm-hmm. and run the thrift shop while we're planning this walk.
Yes.
There's other things that people can take on as volunteer work that will take on with their skills.
Right.
That's huge because that takes a lot of our time. And you need many hands to make light work, right? And not everybody can be the brain. You need the hands, you need the feet, you need all the parts to make this function. So mm-hmm. anything that people want to donate, because when it comes down to money, that gets overwhelming. We're talking about people with disabilities, and we're talking low income. So we don't want people to feel that it's only just about the money. It's about what you can give from yourself as well. So anything that people want to offer is great.
I was going to say, like, maybe just an hour of time of a needed skill.
Yeah. You know? Bet. Yeah.
You know, it even that skill, it alleviates something from the budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm sure that this thing has a, you're talking about moving a community along a road.
Yes.
That's got to be a huge budget.
It is huge.
It's a huge emotional budget, too, though. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, we're dealing with an illness that comes with fatigue and pain every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So those pieces, taking on those pieces, means that Cheryl and Nigel and I don't have to take on kind of the weight of that on our board members. So, you know, those little tiny, you know, doing a mail out, doing phone calls, doing any of those things, they sound like if they're simple, people can do them from home, from their couch if they need to. So those are the pieces we need.
Right.
Anything, you know, just whatever little piece you can pick up, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People, I know sometimes people don't realize that they think that, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. Mm-hmm. But what people need to do is focus on what do you have?
That's right.
You work on the positive, not the negative.
You know?
Yeah. I always work on the positive. Kelsey will post on Facebook, for those of you who know Kelsey, everything she's doing in a day. Well, my role is always to be positive and not stress on that as much. And mine is to be there to help my people. And I watch them. A lot of times I don't say a lot, but I know the one that needs help, and I'm right on there. So we use the media. We use whatever we can to keep an eye on all of our support groups. And then they'll get a phone call from myself. And because I don't do first contact anymore. It's too stressful for me. It is something Nigel can do or the office can do because it's normal, like the questions, where is the support group, stuff like that. Our website has now been up to date. It's all great, all the support groups, everything's right there, tells us what's going on. We really worked hard at that, and that's another thing we do. But what you're saying is help. Like, we have a benefit charity concert coming up in April on the 19th with Tard Richard, who is donating his time and his band. And, you know, just setting up chairs, tables, yeah, things like that, you know, being there, you know, make sure the cars are, you know, that time, like you were saying, it's all those things. When we have a very small volunteer base, very small. You would not believe how small it is. And seriously, people, yeah, with this illness or any illness are not able to do a lot. And we have found then they get sick and they're not able to be there. What we're looking for is some strong people who are not afflicted with this disorder to be able to help us. And because my people, my board is all down, there's only maybe one or two able to still work because they're all sick. It's a flare. They got their flares and it's all the same time. I think it's stress related. I'm not allowed that. I won't give myself that allowance. And people say, well, how do you do it all? Because I don't focus on myself. I focus on my people. And I know that sounds goofy and all that, but that's what keeps me going. I don't need to do this for me. The walk, yes, it's because I was getting bored. I can be, yeah, honest. I was doing all I could, and it wasn't making a difference. And that's not good for someone like myself. I like to build things. I've built malls. I've built businesses. I love to build things. So when the foundation came in 9 years ago, that's a foundation. You're actually building a piece of a puzzle, take a house, you have a foundation. Because our foundation, as you know, is now doing the walk. It had to do the groups. It had to, because we talk about individuals. So we feed our groups at our groups. We put sandwiches in front of them because sometimes that's all the food they get. And we have people that are starving. I hate to tell you that. And the food banks aren't always the best thing and they run out of food. So we, the foundation, mm-hmm, feed them. And we're just a tiny foundation that does so much more. And this walk is now going to throw it out there and say, people need help. People actually need help. I know the third world does too, but we're in Canada. Canadians are hungry too. And this afflicts all life, all ages, not just older women and men. I mean, you know, I hate to tell you, some of our young group is 16 years old women. I had it when I was 4. No diagnosis. In 92, I was 40-something. Come on. You know, and we were talking about that in the car, that if I'd known, just like Kelsey, that we had this disorder when we were younger, we would have not gave ourselves such a hard time as moms. And we were trying to do our best we could, but we couldn't understand we were different and why we were so tired and why we couldn't be a mom that would make all those cute little sandwiches. We were lucky we got something in the and a piece of bread and gave it to our kids because that's all the energy we had. But we didn't know what was wrong with us. Well, you know what? Diagnosis comes first. And to get diagnosis, you need to educate the doctors. And to educate the doctors, they have to be open to be educated. And I have a good doctor now. I can't say I don't. I'm really pleased with my doctor. He works with alternate therapies as well, so that's my thing. I don't take drugs. So I'm sorry for me. I can't run a foundation on pain meds. It's just not possible because they get fuzzy and you get all weird, and I'm not going there. So I use alternate therapies. So I'm one of those. So I cannot answer questions about meds, but Kelsey can, or my, right, support group can. So we, right, work as a team that way.
So you brought up something about that. The medications, yeah. I've been on some medications because I've had a few accidents where I've, mm-hmm, fallen off of things or I've been hit by a car on my bike, and it's like the anti-inflammatories they give you, you wind up with an upset stomach.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I can imagine if you had to take it long-term every day, mm-hmm, it's like you have to deal with fuzzy head, upset stomach, and these things are distraction from running your foundation.
Well, there, and the difficulty with medications, and I went off a lot of, like, the medications. I was taking 5 medications a year and a half ago, and I've gone down now. And I use things when I need them.
Good for you. Congratulations.
I feel much healthier.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what we need to build is a healthcare system that has choices for people. And that includes alternative therapies, non-medicinal therapies, because what's happened in the medical community, unfortunately, is it's become big business, and pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. it's about money, and it's not about the actual whole care, because we also have dietary issues. We have a lot of high allergies. We respond very very quickly, very highly to chemicals compared to other people. 10 milligrams of something for me is going to work where you might need 50. Sensitivities are very high. Right. And the problem is, I mean, we've got people that we know that are on sometimes 15 and 20 medications a day. You not only have, like, if you look at side effects listed on one medication, including fatality, you know, serious heart problems, bleeding issues, intestinal issues, and then you add 3 or 4 or 5 medications together, then you're dealing with side effects of combinations, and then you're risking people's lives. And unfortunately, we've stepped away from the care of the entire person. You also start to lose them mentally and physically and emotionally, because all those side effects put on huge weight. They add to the depression. They isolate because they can't function. It makes them more dependent on the community because they mm-hmm. can't work. They can't do their jobs. They can't make an income. They're not bringing in food, and unfortunately, they might have 2 or 3 doctors prescribing medication instead of one, and nobody really knows the whole picture of that person.
Yeah. Well, and at 20 medications just sounds crazy to me. So I imagine that you have a close relationship with the pharmacist.
Exactly. The pharmacist knows.
Yeah, he's the
go
one
to your pharmacist. Yes.
He's the one person who knows all the interactions of all.
That's right. Yeah. And people also have to understand, we have a lot of people with the dietary stuff and that are going away from medications and going natural. You have to be just as careful, because there's some medications, if you add in supplements and vitamins, that you can have really bad adverse effects. So it has to be considered as well.
There's one out there, and I know this from my son, who was born without a thyroid. Okay. If you take thyroid and you eat a food or an iron supplement, a food that's heavy in iron or an iron supplement, you've just knocked out the thyroid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as most people don't tell, but if you go to the pharmacist, they'll tell you, it's like, hey, you want to take the thyroid medication, then gap the iron for about maybe 2 hours. And I learned that from the pharmacist, not from the doctor.
They don't know. Yeah. And it's not anything against them. The doctors are not educated in school because of that, because they're a different focus. Well, pharmacists, mm-hmm. that's their job. And we recommend that. At support groups, we say, go to the pharmacist. That's what we do.
And it's also taking the responsibility of your own health. Just because you didn't go to medical school doesn't mean that you don't know your own body and that you don't have the same ability to go and investigate things. You have to be your own best advocate for your own health. Look at things, question doctors, ask if you have a team of doctors that only one of them is responsible for prescribing medication, so that at least one person is central. But take the responsibility to find out what is the best thing for you to do. What are all your alternatives to deal with a certain issue or a certain symptom? And the other thing, we try to stay educated and try to keep reading up on everything. Look at alternative therapies and what works. So there has to be choices, and that's a big part of what mm-hmm. we're trying to do, is create those choices.
Awareness to a more balanced care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. To health care. Yeah.
Yes. So, that's something that I guess it isn't really focused on through a lot of the systems that we have in place now. Mm-hmm. It's more above sick care than it is health care.
Yeah.
It's about budget. It's about finances. It's not about the program that's being put in place. It's about a bottom line. And we're not a bottom line. we're human beings, and we need care. And the thing is, if a system's not going to create that, we're going to create it. Those of us who have it are going to create it for those who need it.
Yes.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to take a break, just a minute early here for our break here. So this is the Community Living Show on our new station, CITR 101.9 FM, and also on the NCRI Radio Networks. We're going to come right back in a moment.
Ocean, border, sub, urban, dispersal, determinacy, mulatto, mestizo, Métis, Cabra, Eurasian, Creole, colored, split. Those who have no history are doomed.
An excerpt from The Reinventing Wheel, spoken by author, Vancouver poet, Wade Compton. Celebrate Black History Month with CITR 101.9 FM. As we host content exploring Black history in Vancouver and beyond. Tune in this February and check out CITR.ca for regular updates on the scheduling of our Black History Month programming.
Hey, Horace, give us 3 shots of your best bourbon and have that Russian waiter I like bring it over.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Tune into CITR 101.9 FM every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also find the podcast on CITR.ca, iTunes, and my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com.
And, of course, this is the Community Living Show here on the NCR Radio Networks and our new station, hopefully our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, for the hour show. Glad you can join us. I'm going to pass over to Michael.
Okay, and we're still here with Cheryl and Kelsey from the Fiber Mile Show Wellspring Foundation. One thing that you're talking about need of services and things like that, and we're talking about the medical community. Here is a wonderful opportunity for them to learn. So, how do you think that could actually work?
Well, first off, we really would like a medical student to actually walk with us. We'd like to at 8:30 in the morning because we're starting at 9 to do our vitals and stuff and make sure where we are. And our weight, so that we know where we started, because we're gonna lose a lot of weight on this. We want to make sure we're healthy, so there's someone there at all times. That would be a great paper to write. I mean, really, my daughter's a PhD student. I know what she needed to get out there and do something. This is something different. This is something that will be in history. We look for physiotherapists who are learning, or massage therapists, things like that. That on the road. If they would come along or pop in, because remember, it's only a 10-hour drive to BAM. It's really easy to make this. And people forget it's like taking us 40 days, but it's actually a really short drive. So people can come by and help us out, help us with our feet or whatever. This is an opportunity for people to learn, people to see what other people can do. Because you got to remember, some of our people are going to be crying a lot because it's going to be stressful for them. And I think that if people really cared enough, because we're going to talk about our stories. I have told all my walkers, I want them to talk about themselves, because the awareness needs to be about themselves. Their stories. These stories, I hear them. I know them. I cry with them. And we need to be heard. And that's what we're looking for. People that want to be involved in something that is going to be life-changing for the people who are walking. Correct, Kelsey?
Yeah, and I think the important thing, too, is it gives the opportunity to students for doing thesis papers in all kinds of areas, like we were saying, the chiropractor, massage therapists, nutritionists, anybody going into, whether it's alternative therapies, mm-hmm. Nutrition-based, or into the medical side, nurses, any type of therapy, it gives them an opportunity to actually learn from firsthand experience to watch somebody go through with the disability and go through what we are, what people with disabilities are capable of actually doing, and to experience that firsthand and be able to contribute every day on a learning scale for them, because hours have to be put in, you know, at the end of training, to get that firsthand experience for them, but also contribute for us. And it's also an opportunity in each community for things, you know, we were talking about adding on, for established practitioners to also say, in this town, you know, if there's two or three massage therapists, chiropractors, whatever it might be, to volunteer an hour at the end of that day of that step of the walk, you know, for pools to do therapy. We need, you know, hot tubs, those kind of things. But it's an opportunity, I think, for a lot of people to, especially at the very beginning of their career, to learn from a different perspective than it is to hear from just a book or in a classroom, to see it firsthand, and also learn that people with disabilities aren't, you know, we have abilities, we're just different.
Yeah. Well, that's what our show is about, different abilities, right? So you brought up book. Now, I'm going to put this out there to any medical students out there or medical researchers are out there. This would be an opportunity to follow along, and you could write the book about how these two ladies made it to Banff, what their symptoms were, what symptoms came up, faded away, however you want to look at it. This is a good opportunity to write that book. And how many books are there out there to have something like that?
No.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
It's, and the thing is, it's not just going to be a medical journey. This walk is also a journey of the heart. And that's the big thing. And I think it would also, you know, for counselors, it would be an opportunity for people who are going into the psychology, you know, into that part of it, because it's also, when you're dealing with abilities and you're dealing with some of the things that we deal with, psychology is a big part of it. So there's that side of it as well. So it's an opportunity that is just is so wide open to so many different areas. We would love to work, even starting now, the journey of how we're doing this right through the walk, you know, and not just wait until then. And look at our health, because we've got people who are losing significant weight now so they can even begin to walk in a year. So there's a lot of opportunities starting now, not just in a year. So
yeah.
Join on anytime.
That's a very good point. Yeah, in the sooner they start the research, the more in depth the book, right?
Before I started the foundation, I had decided I was sharing this with Kelsey on the drive over. There would not be a foundation if I didn't decide to do a journal, and that journal was started to my business at that time. I was sitting in my chair watching Oprah and Dr. Phil and thinking, is this all there is? I mean, there has to be more. I mean, I just couldn't handle myself, because my parents lived to their like late 80s and 100, and I couldn't see me another 50 years sitting in that chair doing nothing. So I started a journal, and I started day to day, and I said, I'm going to do one for a year and see where it takes me. And during that year, the foundation was born. And we were already a charity. We've already did all that. That's just by starting one day at a time of writing down how I felt that day, the pain level or whatever, and what I did pushing forward. And that is how it happened. And now look at where we are today. I have to write a book. I just don't get time. That book will be coming. It'll be another one because of that. And the books are always good, because it shows progress, it shows moving forward. And I know with this walk, it's going to move a lot of things forward medically, towards what people can do, and in people's personal lives of what they can actually do for themselves. Because we can't depend on other people to do our jobs for us. I'm not saying that we're all able to do a lot of things, but we can do more. My days, I was in a year in bed. I couldn't even get myself to the bathroom. I had to have help. It was embarrassing. It was hard. It was humbling. I had a beautiful mansion, as I mentioned before. It was gorgeous. I had everything. And now I lived in a car for 6 weeks. I know some people are living worse. They're homeless. But I felt homeless. And there was no food. So we went out and delivered phone books because whatever it took, we had to feed ourselves. And we were turned down by the ministry. They wouldn't give us, we had money for rent, but we didn't have the money for the damage deposit. And we said we'd pay them back, but it wasn't good enough. So we had to live in a car because we didn't have the money to get into a home. That is injustice. That is abuse. And make us self-worth go down because we're not making an income, because we're different. Our fibromyalgia, invisible illnesses, is life-changing for us. One day, I was a businesswoman, I'm successful, running around doing all those things that you do. And then the next day, I was flat on my back, and it wasn't because I wanted to be there, and not able to walk or take care of myself. That is something a suicide watch is put on. I had the money in those days, 24-hour watch, that they were afraid of what I would do because it was so life-changing. I would be driving home from work. I had a store in Lougheed Mall in Burnaby. And one day, you know, the old days of the traffic on the Portman Bridge, and all of a sudden I would feel, jump off the bridge.
Oh.
Holy crap. I'm not a negative person. I'm the most positive person you ever meet all my life. I've been abused as a child. I found that out with doing all the groups I've been doing for 9 years. I would say 85 to 90% of the people have invisible illnesses, fibromyalgia, have been sexually, have been mentally or physically abused. And that is huge. And I'm telling you that from me because that's nothing out there really. That's what I've learned. I've learned a lot doing support groups personally. It's not just about them all learning. I learned. I never went to a support group. Didn't need it. I mean, hey, we're out there, guys. And I learned that I needed them. And I keep mine positive because got to be positive. But when I realized that I want to jump off a bridge, I'm not that kind of a person. I went to the doctor. I said, hey, this is what's happening. I went to my first husband and I said, I woke up, I said, I waited for him to come home. He was a shift worker. And I said, there's something wrong with me for me to want to jump off a bridge. I go to a doctor and they said, leave your husband. That's what they said, too much stress. I went to a psychologist. Leave your husband. You're negative. You're depressed. Oh, I'm not depressed. Tell me what's wrong with me. And then finally, they find out a diagnosis. I didn't know how to say the word. It's so long. And then she said, I can't do a thing for you. And that was in 92. And for years, I agreed with that. We went to alternate therapies. I went to naturopath. That was the next thing. I had money in those days. I used every penny I had for alternate therapies. I have a magnetic bed. I do a lot of different things. But I'm poor now, just like most of our people. I'm not on CPP, so whatever I can do, I do. And the thing is, when you have no option to go and you have to go to alternate therapies because I couldn't do the drug route, my body's too sensitive. I'm a very addictive personality, so you don't want to start doing that. And I went forward, and I kept on moving forward, and they told me at the naturopath, if I lived a week, he could save me. My adrenal glands had shut down, and he didn't know if he could save me. When you have that, and you take your daughters, and you take them for dinner at Sirloiner, I remember between Christmas and New Year's, and had to tell my girls the second time in their lifetime that their mom might not live to see them. That's hard. That's hard. And I'm that kind of a strong personality. I have died twice in my life, so it's not new. I love my life. I have had borrowed time. And I work day to day, as Nigel will tell you, every day is a wonderful day. So I just wanted to share that with you a little bit about our lives are so life-changing.
Yeah. Well, since we're starting to run out of time, rattle off all the different ways that people can find you, donate, jump in and give you support. You know, you need all. I know you guys need a ton of help with this.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Box 1600, Alder Grove, British Columbia. You can send any donations, Victor 4W to Victor 1. Our office phone number is 778-278-3697, or go to our website, www.fibromyalgia, wowspringfoundation.org. And if you want to listen to our interviews here, it's media release. Click it, and you'll hear our interview will be on here, plus the last one. And otherwise, we'd just love to hear from you. Pardon?
And thrift shop as well.
And thrift shop.
Come and see us in person.
And it's a clean one with a real floor on it.
Yeah. What's the address on the thrift shop?
Number 109-20631 Fraser Highway in Langley. I think that's all you need. And the phone number is the same.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. And other organizations as well. Join on board, because I've done this type of work in the past where laws were changed because the whole community as a whole joined together. Mm-hmm. And we would love to work with other groups that are fighting that same battle. And if we all join together, that's when the medical systems will change, and that's when the laws will change.
Yeah. So you want to reach out to the MS groups and the
everybody that wants to join
groups,
on board.
All that stuff.
Let's fight it and make it better for all of us.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you,
and back to Kelly.
Yes, if you love to enjoy our show very much, this is our debut on CITR, and we're talking local stuff now. Today is the day CITR is doing its Fun Drive 2015. Our theme is called Let's Get Digital, meaning we need more archives and more, any type of podcasts that we do on recording on this show. You can pitch in $30, $60, or the actual $101.9, $101.90, $175, $250, $500, or even $1,000. All you have to do is go to the website now until noon, then give us a call after that. Yes. Mention our show, the Community Living Show, and do we have any, if we have anything, any prizes or whatever for our first show? We'll think of something.
We'll think of one. One of our future guests, I might be able to get her book. I just need to contact her about that.
Okay.
So that's on our next show. Yeah.
So anyways, you can pay it in cash, enclose a payable check to the University of British Columbia. Sorry, I'm having a bad throat day. Not one of those best days. You can have it on credit card, Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. If you want to have a CITR swag, the swags are CITR toques, cassettes, Discorder scarf, frame Discorder cover of your choice, on-air shout-out with the $500, on-air shout-out, and 10 songs of the playlist you choose on the top 10 charts, recognition of CITR's Donor War in our new sub this coming April. You can, get the $1,000 or more to recognize the CITR donor wall if you support CITR right now. Again, right now, give us on a website at citr.ca/donate. And if you call in the afternoon and mention the Community Living Show, our debut show, call us at 604-822-8648. That's 604 UBC unit, right afternoon. Hopefully somebody will be there to pick up the phones and do the pledge.
And please don't wait for somebody else to pledge. It's like if you you know there's a need, you're listening to us, so you pick up the phone and make the pledge and don't wait for somebody else to do it. Okay?
That's our show, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. So we're coming back next week, same time, same station. Well, throughout the province of British Columbia on the Interior Radio Networks as well.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks to our special guests, Cheryl Young and Kelsey Paul and Nigel Thorne, who wasn't speaking with us today, but he's in the background there.
Silent,
so.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sky on another wise, ordinary Saturday.